And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
15.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss the latest prospect call-up and an overlooked Rocky.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Friday, July 2nd, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior, and with me for this Friday edition of Fantasy Baseball in 15 is Derek Van Riper. DVR, busy, busy day of news and all kinds of analysis here, so let's get right to it. Trey Turner is, he missed Thursday's game for the Nationals, and Alex Avila got a start at second base. That was really weird to see in the box score. And he is likely to be out for, Dave Martinez, a couple of days. So keep an eye on that over the weekend for Trey Turner. Ronald Acuna Jr. was out of the Braves lineup against the Mets with back tightness, but he actually did come into the game and pinch hit. So looks not too bad for Ronald Acuna Jr. Some Brewers notes here. Avisail Garcia was out against the Pirates on Thursday with a sore hamstring, and Colton Wong left that game with calf tightness. Craig Counsell says that Wong might need to go on the IL. So I know you watch the Brewers closely. How are you seeing the situation? And should I be interested in Jace Peterson, especially my OBP leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I think Peterson would be an option maybe in a 15-team OBP league. I don't think there's a lot behind that slash line. Not a lot of power, not a lot of speed, but the Brewers are just thin right now because of all the injuries that have piled up at other positions. So I don't think they would move, you know, Keston Hira over to play second base and play somebody else at first base. I think they're much more likely to let Peterson be the primary second baseman for the duration of any Colton Wong absence. I would just be careful about rostering Peterson in leagues that are on the more shallow side.
All right, and one more very important note here for the Brewers. Corbin Burnes leaving his start, hard to say early because it was in the eighth inning, but did leave with a jammed knee, something that occurred apparently when his cleat slipped on the mound. So we'll have to watch that for next week. Assuming you've probably watched this a little bit more closely than me, do you think there's any real danger of him missing his next start?
It didn't seem like it, just based on the way some of the reports float out after the game, so I'm cautiously optimistic this was just a minor scare for Burnes.
All right. Some White Sox news now. Yoan Moncada may miss the entire weekend series against the Tigers due to his bruised hand. And what seems to be a related move, the White Sox have called up Jake Berger, which just a fantastic story. Tore his Achilles twice, missed three entire seasons, but tore it up at AAA Charlotte this year so far, hitting .322 with 10 homers. So this maybe is just a quick up and down for Berger if Moncada can recover, but maybe something longer. So how do we deal with this over the weekend?
You know, if you're in a league with daily moves, you need help on the corner. I could see Berger maybe getting a few of those opportunities, but I am curious to see how well he adapts to major league pitching. It's a great story, to say the least. I think if you go back and look at some of the older reports on him, especially, power was never really a major question for him. And I think the more recent reports are encouraging because of what he was doing at AAA. So I'm glad to see him getting an opportunity. I just feel like it's going to be very temporary, at least for the next couple of weeks, unless we get news that Moncada's injury is worse than initially reported.
Okay. And, you know, just a caveat, too, is I always have just a little bit of skepticism when somebody's coming up from Charlotte or AA Reading or, you know, some park like that where power numbers tend to get inflated. But sorry to be a downer on such a great story. I'm certainly rooting for Jake Berger for however long he is up. Eddie Rosario left Cleveland's game against the Astros with abdominal tightness, And the Pirates have placed Colin Moran on the IL with a hand fracture. Harrison Bader back for the Cardinals, activated off the IL on Thursday. And going back to the Brewers here, Brett Anderson, he might start for the Brewers on Tuesday against the Mets at Citi Field. Been on the IL with a knee injury. Here's something that Michael Beller and I alluded to earlier in the week. Jose Suarez, Joe Madden made some comments that maybe Suarez would go into the Angels rotation. He's made the move. So Dylan Bundy to the bullpen, Suarez to the rotation, going to start on Monday. And he's just been sensational, pitching in long relief, 27 and a third innings accumulated there, 26 strikeouts, 9 walks, and a 29.9% CSW rate, which, by the way, I'm just going to, whenever I cite that, there's always people asking what that stands for. That's called and swinging strikes combined as a ratio of total pitches. So that's an excellent ratio.
Yeah, it is. I'm just blown away that this season has been so bad for Dylan Bundy. Suarez with those numbers is at least a consideration, I think, in those deeper mixed leagues. The 15-team cutoff makes sense. Probably a matchup-dependent sort of guy if you get down into the 12-team range, but off to an impressive start this year. And I'm just wondering if we'll see Bundy back in the rotation at some point, maybe either in late July or August, or if this move to the bullpen ends up being permanent as far as this season goes.
Yeah, and also, you know, worth noting, too, that with the All-Star break coming up, we're going to start seeing moves perhaps like this or short-term demotions to the minors. So, you know, maybe things get changed a bit when we come out the other side of the All-Star break. David Peterson will not make his next start for the Mets. Came out of his last one early with some sharp pain in his side. Carlos Carrasco is now throwing bullpen sessions, so good development for him, although his return is not quite imminent yet. And the Yankees getting Tim LoCastro from the Diamondbacks in exchange for minor league reliever Keegan Curtis. Is that just simply AL-only appeal there so far?
Yeah, it's a mono league situation for me for now. If they end up showing us they're going to play LoCastro a little more than we expect and just take the speed and defense in center field, then he runs enough and is efficient enough as a base stealer to emerge as a more viable deep mixed league option, but I need to see it before I can actually take the chance because there's not much else that LoCastro brings.
So let's take a look at Thursday's standout performances. We'll start with one that's not a standout in a good way, and that's Hyunjin Ryu, who also Michael Beller and I talked about earlier this week. The strikeouts have just evaporated for him, and that continues into his latest start against the Mariners. Just 2 strikeouts in 4 innings, 5 runs, 4 earned for him. So pretty bad start for Ryu. So at this point, where do you feel okay starting him?
He's becoming someone that you're at least thinking about the matchups with, right? I mean, like going into the season, I would have said you're playing Ryu even in those tough spots, even on the road in Yankee Stadium, obviously in more difficult spots now, you're not using him. I'm looking at the upcoming schedule. Jays have, looks like next week he has Baltimore on the road. I know it's a tough environment to pitch in, but it's still not a lineup that I'm afraid of. So I would actually let Ryu take that start and evaluate things going into the break again.
All right, Merrill Kelly, he's heading up down season. He's on the upswing, 7-inning outing against the Giants. A good one, just 3 runs allowed on 7 hits with no walks, 7 strikeouts. And I really wanted to make a point of mentioning Kelly on this episode because as we're moving into the weekend, take note, next week Kelly has a 1-start week at home against the Rockies. Best matchup in baseball. So Nice streaming option there. Let's talk about the hitters, though, because it was another good night for the hitters. Nate Lowe, couple of home runs for the Rangers. And Joey Gallo, his 20th homer. So he's on a Schwarber-like tear right now, 3-for-3 in that game. Dominic Smith with a 2-homer game. So he's up to 8 on the season. Those 2 homers coming in Atlanta. Next week, the Mets, they've got, I think, probably the best schedule. And that, which seems weird, the Mets hitters having a good schedule because they're going to face Brandon Woodruff. And assuming he's all right, they're probably going to see Corbin Burns as well. But then they'll get another starter who may be Brett Anderson or certainly, you know, not one of the big three there. And then they get 4 games against the Pirates. So Mets hitters, I think you give them the benefit of the doubt this week. Smith in particular, he's 16 for his last 55 with 4 home runs and only 10 strikeouts over that stretch. Do you look to pick up Dominic Smith anywhere just for this week?
Yeah, if he was dropped, I do think having a maximum playing time schedule for the upcoming week makes him viable. I mean, five of those games could be considered good starts, and something good could happen in the late innings after Woodruff or Burns departs, depending on the score, of course. Unless the Brewers are in their A bullpen, then it's a tough matchup throughout. But recent form and role are good enough where I'm in on Smith up for the upcoming week.
All right. And Brendan Rodgers, I will admit this one has slipped a little bit beneath my radar. But I'm not alone. He's less than 15% rostered in Yahoo and ESPN leagues. He's less than half rostered in CBS leagues. And he's now got an 860 OPS, hit his fifth home run of the season on Thursday night against the Cardinals, a part of a game where he reached three times. And sort of a mixed schedule for the Rockies next week. It's on the road, but three at Arizona, which is pretty nice, four at San Diego. But Rodgers has actually hit a little bit better on the road than at home. Part of just a weird year for the Rockies where everybody has reverse home road splits. So anywhere we shouldn't be playing Brendan Rodgers next week.
No, I'm not going to talk anybody out of Brendan Rodgers. I waited on him in a few leagues to begin the season and have been really happy with what he's done in the 34 games that he's played so far. And I think the thing that stood out to me, Al, is just that as a guy that was a bit young for the level and the upper levels of the minor leagues, he did a good job keeping the strikeout rate down, especially in 2019 before he made that big league debut. He was really doing a lot of damage. I know that was the year of the rabbit ball at AAA, but I'm not totally shocked by this. I think it's really been a question of health that's really kept him from reaching this level prior to this season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's go a little bit deeper here. But Alejo Lopez making his first start in the majors for Cincinnati, going 4-for-5. He's now made 9 trips to the plate, just struck out once, but that's right in line with what he's done in the minors. He just doesn't strike out very much. Between maybe the Reds having 3 games at Kansas City and there being a DH available, or maybe, I don't know, would the Reds possibly consider moving Eugenio Suarez back to shortstop, where I know the defense was a liability, but he really hasn't hit any better at third base, which I was kind of hoping he would. I mean, is there a window here for Lopez to build on this and get a little playing time?
I think there is. I don't think the Reds want to move Suarez back to short because he hasn't started a game there since the last week of May. So we went an entire month without him making a start at shortstop. And I think they've realized that just wasn't the best way to go with that situation. And I think Suarez can bounce back in the second half, but it has been a kind of a 3-year trend for him of striking out a lot more than he was earlier in his career.
Well, let's take a look ahead to Friday. Really not many pitching streamers to talk about, but there are a few. So I think we've got a potential streamer versus streamer situation with the Brewers and the Pirates, Adrian Hauser and JT Brubaker. And I'm going to throw in one more that it's a pitcher who's probably not available too many places, but I actually did find Logan Gilbert in my 12-teamer this week. So I liked him this week just for this Friday matchup against the Rangers. So if he's still out there in your daily leagues where you can still get him, I think that's a no-brainer. But what about Hauser and Brubaker?
Yeah, no hesitation for me on Gilbert. Hauser, I think, is just good enough to be used in a matchup like this. I really don't use him outside of those matchups against like bottom five offenses. A lot of times because he's at home and it's such a hitter-friendly environment. Brubaker, I'm looking at what the Brewers are starting to do offensively going back through June, and I'm not looking at them as the easy streaming target that they were for the better part of the first 2 months of the season. So I'd be a little more careful with Brubaker.
All right, let's wind up the week here. The look at who we might target in Fab. We've already talked about Dominic Smith and Brendan Rodgers. In terms of hitters, everybody's got kind of an even schedule this week, so there's not really a lot of advantages to be gained by going after a hitter just to stream for this week. But Bobby Bradley, I think, has some longer-term appeal. A lot of great pitching streaming options this week, and I'll just rattle off a few. In addition to Merrill Kelly, Colby Allard, Jose Suarez. Well, actually, we did talk about Suarez. Ryan Weathers, Martin Perez. Weathers, Perez, Allard, all with 2 projected starts. Anybody that you would add or subtract from that list?
Definitely want Allard in the mix. He's got the first start at home against the Tigers, second one home against Oakland. I don't think he's overpowering at all in terms of stuff, but I think he's efficient enough, has good enough command to actually get pretty deep into his outings. I'm always intrigued by Ryan Weathers because the results have been so good at this point. I'm just wondering if he can actually get through five innings next time out after going four against the Reds in his return to the Padres on Thursday. And then Bobby Bradley, who you mentioned, I'm with you on him. The K rate's down. That's something that's really surprising. Zach Meisel brought that up on the Athletic Fantasy Baseball podcast, but that job is absolutely his to lose. There's never been a question about his power. So I'm in on Bradley where available if you're looking for some help at first base.
All right, well, good thing to end up the week here on the same page, DVR. So with that said, we're going to be winding up Fantasy Baseball in 15 for today and for the week. And we just ask that if you do have an opportunity to rate and review this podcast, that you do so. And we greatly appreciate it and thank you in advance. So for Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll return here on Monday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.